You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Monday, April 29th, and it's this rainy, chilly day when all I want to do is just be on my couch wearing flannel pajama pants and reading novels and eating carbohydrates. And instead, it's been a day in the teaching studio, which is probably better than the carbohydrate couch day. It's been kind of a bittersweet teaching day. I had two lessons with graduating seniors, and, you know, that's always bittersweet. I'm so proud of them, and it's really exciting to see them go on and go to the next thing, but of course it's also a goodbye. And then I had a student who hasn't been practicing as effectively or maybe as much, although I think it's been a pretty big amount, as I want, and hasn't been making the progress that I want, and I just didn't choose my words well, and there were tears, and I feel like a jerk. It's hard when the students are, everybody's so stressed. It's the last week of classes, and so the students all have their finals, and normally they'd have spring fever, but today is certainly not a spring fever day. Anyway, I feel really bad that I made a student cry, and that just never feels good when it happens. Anyway, I wanted to tell you about some of the things that I've been thinking about this week. One is, I'm going to point you, I'll put a link at the website. One is, I listened in on a teaching call that was a conference call with Madeline Brusser, who is the author of The Art of Practicing, which is a really nice book that you should read if you're interested in such things. She's very interested in meditation and awareness practice as part of musical practice. And one exercise that she did in particular that I think was really a nice way of thinking that I've actually been using in my teaching a little bit this week and haven't fully explored or certainly fully incorporated, but was a really nice way of thinking about it, was the idea of, and I'm going to totally, this is going to be such an oversimplification, by the way, of this, but I'll just, in a nutshell, she explains it much more in depth. But basically the idea that we can experience the sound we make at our instruments as waves of sound vibrating our torsos, not just the waves of sound vibrating our ears. So she had us do an exercise where we would play a note at a time or make a sound at a time very slowly and really try and feel that sound in the torso, not just in the ears, which is a really interesting kind of way of thinking, partly because it's true, right? Like physically the sound waves do actually hit you in the torso. They don't just hit you in the ears. But one of the things that it did for me that I really liked is it made me feel like I was listening in the way that I listen on stage. And it was also a way that I had never thought about. And that's always fun. So if you haven't read The Art of Practicing, you should check that out. And I'll put a link to her website and maybe you might want to look at that because there's some pretty interesting stuff going on there. So that was a nice thing to think about. I promised you that I was going to play you a simplified version of the first Nouvelle Etude, which I'm going to do today. These are the three etudes that he wrote because he'd finished his two big sets, the Opus 10 and Opus 25, and then in 1839, Moscalis and somebody else, Fétis, who I don't know anything about, said, "Hey, we're putting together this group of etudes. Can you write some?" And he said, "Sure." So he wrote a couple. So this one, the main game of this is that the left hand is in four. So here how that's a 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4 pattern. And then the right hand is, I'm not going to do the whole thing, but. So here how it's 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1. So it's kind of the same thing as this one, which is 25 number 2. So what I'm doing is I'm learning this, just the sinuous right hand melody with the left hand just the bass or the left hand just bass and chords, and I'm not dealing with the whole three against four thing at all yet. I think the way to do it is to really learn the melody in three and really feel it in three, and then I'll put them together, and I think probably I'm going to make sure that the big beats line up, and for the most part, trust that the three against four is going to take care of itself. And then if it doesn't, I'll work it out. But anyway, so I've been playing this mostly with just sort of, and so instead of, I've been doing like, and I've been doing it kind of slowly. The marking, by the way, is andantino, which is usually a little faster than andante, so not, right, like not hugely fast. But apparently it was originally agitato and later corrected into andantino. So, right, so start agitated and then kind of calm. So I'm going to think about that. I am nowhere near a tempo decision about this. Anyway, it was kind of fun playing it the way I'm going to play it for you in a minute. It almost reminds me of one of the sati gymnopédies, you know, the... I totally don't know what key this is in or how it works, but like, you know the piece I mean? This is totally not the key that it's in, and it's not the right chords anyway. But anyway, it sort of reminds me of that. So this is a nice, I'm sort of thinking of this as being a precursor to sati. Anyway, here's how this goes in a simplified version. Concentration is going. Sorry, let's bring myself back here. I'm thinking about the student that I made cry. Okay, I have to stop that. Okay, stopping that, going back to the forte, this is measure 41. So I really love that sinuous melody that kind of keeps it, it does feel like it's a precursor to sati or even Poulenc, like the way that it keeps sort of moving in one key and then it suddenly shifts to another key or in cadences in another key. This one feels very French to me. I think I'm going to have to be much, much, much more consistent in my tempo than I was just then. I was going all over the place, but I'm still kind of exploring and feeling how I want the phrasing to go. I think that's mostly what I want to show you with that. I'm going to carry on with this like this. I also, you know, I got to start working the left hand a little bit. This is one of those left hands that feels like, it feels like I can probably learn it in like half an hour, which means I'm probably never going to actually want to get around to that half hour. Anyway, there's a couple of fingering places I need to work out, but mostly I think it's going to be pretty straightforward. So that's what I'm doing with that. I also wanted to show you another one that I'm working on in a simplified way. This is 25 number 11. No, 25 number 10? Number 10? Is this number 10? Yes, number 10. This is the octaves. I think that besides this one, which is 10 number 1, this is the one that just feels most like what is demanded of in it is beyond what I can do. I mean, 10 number 1 I can almost play, actually. It's I won't say that I can play it, but it's definitely coming. This one still feels just scary. Anyway, so you've got octaves, and then you've got these really nice inner voices going on. Let me show you how I'm working on it. There's four bars of just parallel octaves going up, so it's this kind of thing. Okay, so then here, let me show you slowly what happens here. So there's this inner voice and these octaves. Right, so you have inner voice, and then it goes to here and here and here and so forth. While you have these whole octaves. That's under tempo, by the way. Heaven help me. Here's how I'm working on it. Instead of doing the entire octave, I'm doing the inner voice with my second finger, the pointer, and then just the thumbs. So I'm doing. That one I would need to do again. Now, one of the challenges here is not only to keep my thumb supported, but also to make sure that my wrists and my elbows don't lock up. Because I think the only way to do it is without the wrists and the elbows locking up. So I'm not going to make you listen to that whole thing. But that's how I've been practicing this. Occasionally play with all the stuff. Ugh. I'm not going to do that again. So I need to work on that. So I haven't really been playing it with the octaves very much. I've mostly just been doing it with the thumbs moving around so that the hand of the shape keeps changing. But I did want to show you the gorgeous middle section of this and a spot where I have been sort of feeling like I am needing to do some more research, but I think I probably have made my decision, actually. Let me show you this. So we have this like crash for two pages, and then we come to this. Practice this yet, because I'm sort of in triage mode with the other part. Now, here's a part I want to tell you about. This next measure, this is measure 38. Obviously, I'm going to start in measure 37. The way it's supposed to go is. Right? Beautiful. Nice little half cadence. It sounds great. But pretty much every source, like so the Badura Skoda, the Henley, the Paderewski, I haven't actually looked at the Schmidt yet, but pretty much everybody except for McCauley seems to say that it should go like this with an E natural. Sorry, that's an E sharp. Which I just think sounds terrible. I don't believe it. Except that it seems to be everywhere. I'm going to play it again with the E natural. Now, doesn't that just sound like I'm playing a wrong note? It seems to me that it must be. Sound better? So apparently there's this, I haven't like done a lot of reading about it or anything. In fact, it may be that if I look at the notes in the Henley and the Paderewski, they'll tell me. But without having done any of that research at all, this looks like a spot where, I don't know, maybe he meant to write a sharp and wrote a natural. It just seems impossible that this is right. So probably what I should do is do a little bit of reading about it and then listen to a bunch of people and see what they do. But actually, I think what I'm probably going to do is just play the thing that sounds beautiful, unless I can find a good reason not to. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play the thing that sounds beautiful, which is to say the sharp rather than natural, unless I can find a good reason not to. And I will look around and see what I can find out. But that's the kind of dilemmas that sometimes show up in working on these pieces. So in addition to the Nouvelle Etude and this 25 number 10, I've mostly been actually just trying to play through all of Opus 25. I'm going to be going for a lesson next week, which I'm really excited about. I need that. But I'm trying to kind of bring them back into the front burner, because I haven't been practicing these Opus 25 ones very much for a long time. I was focusing on some of the Opus 10. So I've been doing a lot of playing through rather than actually practicing, which is kind of fun. It's fun to be able to do that a little bit. But I'm looking forward to having a lesson to really get myself to the next level with all of these. So anyway, that is what's going on with these etudes for me. So that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. You can find out more about this project at playitagainswig.com. And I would love it if you would like my Facebook page. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.